Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Saturday, October 12th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. Let's dive into our roundtable discussion on the rising prevalence of ADHD in adults. A recent report has shed light on this growing concern. Let's start by exploring the key findings. Eric, what's your take on the numbers?
Well, it's pretty mind-blowing when you look at the stats. We're talking about 15.5 million adults in the U.S. with an ADHD diagnosis. That's not just a drop in the bucket. It's a whopping 6% of the adult population, or 1 in 16 adults. It's like suddenly everyone and their uncle has ADHD. Compared to what we've seen in previous years, this is a massive jump.
Hold your horses, Eric. I've got a bone to pick with calling this alarming. This increase could simply mean we're finally getting our act together and recognizing ADHD in adults. It's high time we address this often overlooked.
Come on, Kate. Don't you think there's something fishy going on here? Half of these diagnoses didn't come until adulthood. That's raising some serious red flags in my book. Are we suddenly discovering a hidden epidemic?
Red flags? Are you kidding me, Eric? ADHD doesn't just magically disappear when you grow up. Tons of people, especially women, fly under the radar as kids. This increase in adult diagnoses could
All
be
right.
fixing a...
Let's take a step back and look at the bigger picture. The demographics in this report are quite interesting. What stands out to you about who's being diagnosed?
Well, Ted, the numbers paint a pretty clear picture. The report shows that adults with ADHD are much more likely to be 50 or younger. We're talking 84.5% compared to 51.2% in the general population. That's a huge skew towards younger adults. And here's another kicker. They're also more likely to be non-Hispanic white at 70.4% versus 61.4%. It's like we're looking at a very specific slice of the population here.
Hold up, Eric. You're cherry-picking those numbers and missing the forest for the trees. We need to dig deeper and look at access to healthcare and cultural factors that might be skewing these diagnosis rates. It's not
cherry
as
picking.
As you're making it
I'm
out.
Just stating the facts, Kate. But since you brought it up, let's talk about another fact. Those earning less than the federal poverty level are also more likely to be diagnosed, 22.1% versus 12.3%. Don't you think that raises some serious questions about potential?
The only question we should be asking is how to support these individuals. This could be a clear sign that ADHD is a major roadblock to financial stability and career advancement. Instead of questioning their diagnoses, we should be focusing on
You both raise interesting points. Let's shift gears a bit and talk about treatment. The report mentions both medication and telehealth. What are your thoughts on these approaches?
I've got to say, Ted, I'm pretty concerned about what I'm seeing. About one-third of adults with ADHD are popping stimulant medications, and yet 71% of them are saying it's like pulling teeth to get these prescriptions. Are we creating a nation of pill poppers here? And don't even get me started on the potential long-term effects. It's like we're conducting a massive experiment on millions of people.
Oh, come on, Eric. Those medications are absolute game changers for many people with ADHD. You're completely missing the point. The real issue here is the ridiculous hoops people have to jump through to get the meds they need. It's
game changers?
Struggle.
More like life alterers, and not necessarily for the better. And what about this telehealth trend? Half of the diagnosed adults are getting ADHD treatment through a computer screen. Are we seriously okay with diagnosing and treating a complex neurological condition?
You're living in the Stone Age, Eric. Telehealth is breaking down barriers and making help accessible to people who might otherwise be left high and dry. It's a huge step forward, not backward. We should be celebrating this.
Let's put this in historical context. Can you think of a similar health trend from the past that might offer some insight into what we're seeing with ADHD diagnoses?
Absolutely, Ted. This whole situation is giving me major deja vu. It's like we're watching a rerun of the autism diagnosis boom in the 90s and early 2000s. Back then, everyone was freaking out about an autism epidemic. We saw this crazy spike in reported cases, and it's eerily similar to what we're seeing with ADHD now.
Hold your horses, Eric. I think you're barking up the wrong tree with that comparison. This is way more like what happened with depression in the 80s and 90s. We finally started recognizing it as a widespread
issue. Let me break it down for you, Kate. In the 70s, autism was this super rare thing, like 1 in 2,000 kids. Fast forward to the 2000s, and suddenly it's 1 in 150. Now, It's a whopping 1 in 36. That massive jump wasn't...
You're missing the point entirely, Eric. Depression is a much better parallel here. It was criminally underdiagnosed, especially in men, for ages. As we got more aware and the stigma started to fade, diagnosis rates went through the roof.
Both examples are intriguing. How do you think these historical trends might predict the future of ADHD diagnosis and treatment?
Well, if we follow the autism playbook, we're in for a wild ride. We'll likely see ADHD diagnoses keep shooting up before they hit a ceiling as the diagnostic criteria settle down. But here's the kicker. I bet we'll see a major pushback against overdiagnosis, kind of like the vaccine controversy with autism. It could get pretty messy.
I couldn't disagree more, Eric. Your autism comparison is way off base. If we look at the depression model, which is much more relevant here, we're going to see ADHD diagnoses continue to climb as the stigma melts away. We'll also see better treatment options pop up.
But Kate, aren't you worried about the potential for overmedication? The autism trend led to some pretty questionable treatments. Are we setting ourselves up for the same kind of fiasco with ADHD? It's like we're not...
That's a completely false equivalency, Eric. You're comparing apples and oranges. Unlike some of those sketchy autism treatments, ADHD medications are backed by tons of research and have been proven effective. The real danger here is undertreatment.
Looking to the future, how do you see the landscape of ADHD diagnosis and treatment evolving? Eric, what's your prediction?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Ted, but I think we're headed for a major reality check. My crystal ball shows a significant backlash coming against this diagnosis free-for-all we're seeing now. I bet we'll see the pendulum swing back with stricter diagnostic criteria and a move away from popping pills as the go-to solution. It's like we're due for a collective, what were we thinking, moment.
Oh, please. Your crystal ball needs a serious cleaning, Eric. That's such a pessimistic view. I predict we're going to see a much more nuanced understanding of ADHD. This will lead to better targeted treatments and increased support in schools and workplaces.
Nuanced understanding? Kate, don't you see the risk here? ADHD is becoming this catch-all label for anyone who can't focus on their TikTok feed for more than 5 seconds. I bet we'll see a rise in alternative treatments and a push for non-pharmaceutical interventions.
You're completely underestimating the impact of proper diagnosis and treatment, Eric. Your doom and gloom prediction is way off base. I believe we're going to see more adults seeking diagnosis, which will lead to improved quality of life and productivity gains across society.
It's interesting perspectives. How do you think technology will play a role in these future scenarios?
Ted, I hate to break it to you, but technology is a big part of the problem here. It's no coincidence that this explosion in ADHD diagnoses lines up perfectly with our addiction to screens and constant digital distractions. I predict we'll see a major push for digital detox as a treatment approach. It's like we're finally waking up to the fact that our tech habits are rewiring our brains and not in a good way.
Oh, come on, Eric. You're sounding like a broken record with this tech phobia. Technology isn't the villain here. It's going to be crucial in improving how we diagnose and treat ADHD. We're likely to see some amazing AI-assisted diagnostic tools and personalized digital interventions for ADHD management.
Digital interventions? Kate, aren't those just adding fuel to the fire? We're already overstimulated 24/7, and your solution is more screen time? I think we'll see a return to more traditional focused learning and work environments. Sometimes old school is
the best. You're stuck in the dark ages, Eric. Digital tools can be designed specifically to enhance focus and productivity for people with ADHD. The future isn't about burying our heads in the sand. It's about harnessing technology to work for us, not against us.
Thank you both for this lively discussion. It's clear that the future of ADHD diagnosis and treatment is a complex and evolving issue. While we may not have all the answers, conversations like this help us understand the challenges and opportunities ahead. Thanks to our guests, Eric and Kate, for sharing their insights, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in. This is Ted, signing off from Listen 2.